Morning, today's Daven Shabbos, Pei Aleph. We are at the Mishnah on the top of Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph. Malacha is Hotzah. Malacha has been Hotzah for the entirety of the 8th Parak. We're talking about Shiurim and Hotzah. How much does a person have to carry of various items in order to be Chayv on the Malacha of Hotzah? We learned at the end of the 7th Parak, the item has to be of significance, both qualitatively and quantitatively. Qualitatively, it has to be used by people. Quantitatively, it has to be an amount which is a Dever Chashav. What is going to be the criteria of a Dever Chashav? So we saw already that there is a basic rule in terms of usages. The Gemara towards the beginning of the 8th Parak taught us the rule of Abaye. The Abaye presented the rule on Ayin Chesem at Aleph, and that is that as long as it has a common usage, a Tshchicha, so that is now going to set the benchmark in terms of what exactly now is going to be the shear that determines it to be a significant shear, and that's it. That sets the mark. That will be your minimum minimum amount. And for every item, based on its regular usage, the Chachamim set forward what is it going to be the minimum amount. For food, it's going to be a grogris. For liquids, it's going to be a revius, with exceptions to both. And then, from that point going forward, the Mishnayos went over other items. Organic items, kalim, that the Chachamim gauged exactly what the shear is going to be. So we are now in the Mishnah on the top of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, and we continue going over other items and what their shearim are for the Malacha of Hotzah. Etzim, we're talking now about bone, Kedei Lasos Tarvah, in order to make a spoon. They made their utensils out of bones, so we still do that to this very day. So as long as you have a spoon, which is going to be something of value and significance, so that's going to be the shear for bone. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kedei Lasos Mimenu Chaf. Rabbi Yehuda says it's enough to make a key. Now we're going to be a little bit more specific exactly what we mean when we talk about the key. Right now, we think that Rabbi Yehuda's shear is going to be exceeding the size of that of the Tanakama. The key is larger than the spoon. I know when we have a picture in our mind of a key, it's not necessarily larger, but right now that's the Gemara's thinking. So hold that thought for just a moment. Zechuchis, when talking about glass, kedei ligror bo rosha karkar. So the amount of glass that's going to be significant is the glass that's involved in the processing, in the weaving processing. We'll try to be a little bit more descriptive of that when we get to the Gemara. And finally, the third item of the Mishnah, Sora Evan, if you're talking about a stone, a pebble or a stone, that's the shear that is going to be significant when you throw it at a bird. So in other words, the stone is big enough where there's a bird on your property, you don't want the bird on the property, and so therefore you're going to throw this stone at the bird. That is where the shear now is, that it is first serviceable to you. That's common usage. Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Yaakov Amar kedei lizrok b'behema. And Rabbi Elazar bar Yaakov says, no, it's going to be a stone big enough to throw at an animal. He demands that the stone be bigger, which, if you think about it, again, in the terms of Shiurim, when it comes to the Malacha of Hotzah, that means that he's more mekel, he's more lenient, because the stone is going to have to be bigger in order for you to be chayev a karban chatas. Why is he disagreeing? So here Rashi explains, because if you have a bird on your property, you're not going to bend down and pick up a stone. What you just simply do is you'll just yell at the bird. The bird's going to fly away. As opposed to an animal, where animal you're going to have to be a little bit more aggressive. You're going to have to pick up a stone and throw it at the animal. With that stated, now we continue in the Gemara Lameimra. So we start off with the first point of our Mishnah when talking about bones, and we have a machlokes between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. D'shiur d'Rabbi Yehuda nafish. It sounds like in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda's shiur is more hakaimalan, but the Gemara says, but we've said, and we're going to continue to say, we've already made this point numerous times. D'shiur d'Rabban nafish. That we work with a general assumption that the Chacham Shir is going to be larger than that of Rabbi Yehuda. It's just an assertion, it's an assumption that the Gemara has been making specific to this particular topic of Shiurim and Hotza'am, that the Chacham Shir is going to be bigger than Rabbi Yehuda Shir, meaning that whenever Rabbi Yehuda introduces himself here in the Mishnayos in the 8th Perek, so the assumption the Gemara makes is that he's going to go with a lower Shir, which means that he's going to be more Machmir. And that doesn't seem to be the case in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking, Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah is talking about a key. And again, the assumption right now is that the key is larger than the spoon. So the Gemara says, Amar Ula, Chafei Posachas. So Ullah says, yeah, but we didn't understand Rav Yehuda correctly. Rav Yehuda was not talking about the entire key. He was just talking about the teeth of the key. Rashi chafei posachas. So Rashi writes, shinaim akvuim ba. We're talking about the teeth that are inserted to the key. V'lo hi atzma. We're not talking about the key itself. And then v'osim osam e'etzim, and the keys are, and the teeth of the key are made out of the bones. So Rav Yehuda is just qualifying that we're not talking about the entire key, we're just talking about the teeth, and as a result of that, his shear actually is going to be smaller than that of the Tanakama. So now we have a consistent view of Rav Yehuda throughout all these Mishnayos. Tan Rabban, the Gemara now is going to be discussing a little bit more regarding the key and its teeth. Chafei Posachas, when we're talking about the teeth of the keys, Tahorin. So in of themselves, they are not Mekabel Tumah. As long as they were not attached to the key itself. And so they are just simply the mechanical teeth that are going to be attached to a key, but not yet. They're not Mekabel Tumah, because as Rashi explains over here, unattached, they simply don't have a use. They only have utility once they're attached to the key. And therefore, it's not a kli, and therefore, it's not Mekabel Tumah. Kavan b'poseches tmein. Once they're attached to the key, so now they're going to be Mekabel Tumah, because now it's going to be a kli. Rashi over here points out that in terms of the halachas of Tumah and Tahara, bones are going to be like metal. Rashi says that kli etzim kikli matchos upshutehem tmeim, which means that for bone to be mekabel tumah, it does not need a toch. Wood, as we've said time and again throughout Shas, needs a toch in order for it to be mekabel tumah. Metal does not. Metal, even a pshute kli mateches, even if it's very straightforward, flatware of metal, it's going to be mekabel tumah, and the same thing is true regarding bone. So even though these teeth don't have a toch to them, nevertheless, they are going to be mekabel tumah. Gal, back to the Gemara. Now let's say the teeth, the key, is connected to a door which is connected to the house, which of course is grounded. When we're talking about keys connected to the door, so probably over here what we're describing is not the key per se that you put into the door, but we're probably talking about the lock mechanism that's in the door, that's ready to accept the key. Probably that's what we're describing. Anyway, gal afa pishechubran bedeles v'kavam b'mismareim tahorim. So when I have this lock implement in the door connected to the house, it's not mekabel tumah. Why? The Gemara explains, shechol hamechubel karka hareka karka. It's connected to the ground, and therefore it's going to have the status of the ground. Something that's grounded is not mekabel tumah. That is the end of our discussion regarding bones. We continue in the Gemara. Zechuchis kedei ligra bar. Glass in order to scrape. Tana in the Braisa. It's described slightly differently, but maybe it's not a different description. Maybe it's just more descriptive. Sichuchis. It's interesting. The Braisa's version has it with a samach, not with a zayin. And Rashi notes this. And Rashi says that sichuchis, because sochid, because you look into it, right? The word soche with a samech means to gaze or to appear, right? Just off the top of my head, in Chumash, so Sarah goes also went by the name of Yiske, right, with a samech. And Rashi over there says, because she was so beautiful, people looked at her. And so sichuchis, also glass, people look into it. So kedei lifso abashnei nimim ka'achas. The Braisa says it is long enough and obviously sharp enough where you can cut two of the threads in the loom. So you have two threads side by side in the loom and you want to cut both of the threads. So you're going to use some sort of glass instrument. So as long as it's able to cut two, so then the glass is going to achieve the minimum shear. Continuing in the Gemara Tzor, Evan Kedei Lizrak Ba'of, Rabbi Elazar V'chulei, Amar of Yaakov, Amar of Yochan, Vehushim Margeshes Ba. So we're talking about not only the size of the stone as you're throwing it at the animal, but we're also talking about the weight of the stone. So it's got to be sizable enough where you would pick it up and throw it, and also it's got to be weighty enough so that when you hit the animal with it, the animal's going to feel it. V'kamashiro, now exactly how much is that in terms of weight? Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Mishkal Asarazos. So the Gemara gives a quantitative amount in terms of what its weight is going to be. from this point forward, for the remainder of today, we talk about stones and we go back and discuss a little bit more about the bathroom. By the end of today, all of us will have a much deeper appreciation for toilet paper. Zunin, ala bei medrasha. Zunin goes to the base medrash, amar lahu rabosai, avanim shel beis akista shiurim bekama. So when it comes to stones and going into the bathroom, how large do the stones need to be? Shiuran bekama. Now, what exactly is this question? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi says the question could be one of two questions. Rashi writes, Shiuran bekama l'chayv aleihem. Meaning the first question could just simply be germane to our entire discussion. We are talking about how big an item has to be in order for a person to be chayv when taking it down to Rosh Hashanah. So when he's talking about now the stones of the bathroom, so he's asking basically the same question. How big are the stones typically that are brought into the bathroom that a person now would be chayv for carrying these stones on Shabbos? The other possibility, says Rashi, inam letzaltalam b'chatzer, ulachnisam lebeis akise. Or it could just simply be a muksa question, meaning stones, of course, are muksa. Stones are not a kli, but as long as these stones have utility, so they're no longer muksa. When do stones have utility? So therefore, they're no longer muksa. And if you haven't figured it out by now, the utility that we're describing regarding the stones are that the stones were used for hygienic purposes. They were used for the person to be able to wipe himself after having gone to the bathroom. And so basically, at what point, shear-wise, do these stones now have utility so that they are no longer muksa? And Rashi says, whichever question we're asking, it's going to be the same shear. Rashi writes, the questions really are the same questions. It's just two different areas of halacha. One is the malach of hotza'ah. At what point are these rocks significant so that if I carry them, I'm going to be chayev? And at what point are they going to be significant and have utility so they no longer have the status of muksa? It's really the same point, says Rashi. So the answer, amru lo, we're back in the Gemara. Kizayis ke'egozu kebeitza. The shear is going to be the equivalency of an olive, a walnut, and an egg. And presumably, we're describing all three. Rashi says that, in fact. Rashi writes over here. It's going to be a little bit graphic, but Rashi writes, shalosh machnesim lekinuach. U'mekanech zu achar zu. So all three stones, all three size stones are brought in, and all three stones are used. Achas kezayis v'achas ke'egos v'achas kebeitza. And you go successively with the larger stones. B'tchila mekanech pi'ari b'ketana l'hasir ri'a nidbak sham. Sh'agadola posecha u'malachlech svivosav. So, and Rashi says that the first hygienic wipe is going to be with the smaller stone. And then, subsequently, with the larger stones. Amalu, back to the Gemara, v'chitur taniyachnis. Now Zunim, who was the one who asked this question, he wasn't happy with the answer. Because the answer is unbelievably specific. The only stones that you could bring in with you to the bathroom, and are not going to be moksa, or alternatively, the only stones that one would be chayev, are only the stones that are specific to these sizes. Of a, kebeitza, ke'egos, and, I'm sorry, kezayis, kebeitza, ke'egos, and kezayis. And what bothers Zunim is, what exactly are you going to do? You're going to bring a scale in with you, and you're going to have to measure these items and make sure that they're exactly going to be this amount. So, Nimnu v'gamru, so they voted, and then they concluded, Malo Hayad, you're right. In other words, they accepted his point, and they said a handful of stones. Meaning, you're correct. It doesn't have to be of a very specific size, but it has to be the kinds of stones where they can fit into your hand, and therefore, they're going to have usage for you when you go into the bathroom. Tying the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Kezayis, Ke'egos, Kebeitza. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Mishum, Aviv, Melo Hayad. And the Gemara now cites the Machlokis amongst the Tanaim, exactly whether or not these stones have to be specific to the sizes of Kezayis, Ke'egos, or Kebeitza. Or Rabbi Shimon quoting his father, it's just simply a handful of stones. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes a Brisa. Gimel avanim mikur zolos mutal achnis abeit akisi. If you have three stones and they are shaped, mikur zolos just simply means that they are at the same time they're both pointy, but at the same time they don't scratch. So in other words, they're shaped, so they're good for the hygienic wipe. So you can bring them into the bathroom. V'kamashiyoram, and the shear is going to be Rav Meir Omer Ke'egos, Rav Yehuda Omer Kebeitza. So we have a machlokus over here Tanayim. whether they are the size of a egos or that of a beitza. Amar Rav Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chisda, kamachlokis kan, kach machlokis be'esrog. Now the debate over here is regarding stones. The debate is also going to be true regarding an esrog. Now that is a funny jump, but it's not so strange. Meaning when it comes to the shear of an esrog, the esrog of course is going to be held in your hand. Lulav and the other, and Hadas and Aravas in one hand, the esrog in the other hand. And the Mishnayos in the third parak of Sukkah go over exactly what the shear of the esrog is, the minimum shear of the esrog. And basically, shiurim now, and we could say it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, but at the same time, however, we can also say is that you want it to have a comfortable fit within your hand. In other words, that's the whole idea of holding the esrog, is that it's going to be handheld. And so the Tanaim debate exactly what the minimum shear is going to be. It's going to be like an egos, or it's going to be like that of a beitza. And so the Gemara points out, just like they had the machlokas over there by esrog, so too over here they're having the same machlokas, same shear machlokas regarding the stones in the bathroom. Now, the only thing that offends the Gemara in this entire discussion is that we're using our debate as the anchor to remind ourselves of the debate in Sukkah. And the Gemara is bothered by that. The Hasa Masis and Hachav Braisa. Gemara says, wait 1 second. The Mishnah over there in Sukkah is a Mishnah. And it's expected that we all know Mishnayos. Rashi writes it over here very clearly. You have a Tana, you have an Amora, they know all the Mishnayos. Braisas, on the other hand, they're not that familiar with Braisas. Rashi over here is language. Yesh Harbe Tamidim Shalosh Anua. Many of the students in the yeshivas didn't know their Braisas. And so, if I'm going to anchor any piece of information, you anchor to something which everybody knows. Everybody knows the Mishnah Sukkah, and so therefore start there, and then attach to that the information of the Braisa, which we're discussing right now. And the Gemara does exactly that. Elik machlokis b'esrog, kach machlokis kan. So the Gemara says, just like there's a machlokis by esrog, everybody knows that's a Mishnah, so too the machlokis over here in terms of the size of the stone, vis-a-vis the halachas of Otsah and non-muksa on Shabbos. I'm Rav Yehuda of Alo Es HaPayas. Rav Yehuda says that stones you are in fact allowed to carry, but you're not allowed to carry payas. My payas, I'm Rav Zera Kashina Bavlisa. So the Gemara wants a better description of what we're describing over here, and that is Kashina Bavlisa. Rashi over here, all this is good, but doesn't really help us, non-Aramaic speakers. Rashi says, we're talking about ground in Eretz Bavel. The ground in Eretz Bavel is very soft, and it falls apart really really easily. And so therefore, it's just simply not going to be beneficial in terms of wiping with it. And therefore, you can't use it. And it's not going to have utility. And it'll maintain the muksa status. And in terms of shiurim for carrying, I'm not sure if the Gemara really is commenting on that, but it's certainly not going to be able to be used on Shabbos. Amar Rav Asa l'mashmesh b'tzur b'Shabbos k'dersh m'mashmesh b'chol. Okay, now again, the Gemaras today are going to be slightly graphic, but fine, right? It's part of life. And Rava says that one is not allowed to do mishmush when it comes with a stone on Shabbos, like he does during the week. And over here, we're basically talking about it's either something more like an enema or maybe like a suppository. It's something that stimulates bowel movement and it is inserted rectally. And during the week, what they would do is that they would stimulate the area in order so that they would go to the bathroom. And Rava says you're not allowed to do it with a stone on Shabbos like you do during the week. Now, Maskefla Marzutra, li stocking. So Marzutra says, wait 1 second. Going to the bathroom is extraordinarily important. Moving your bowels is very important. If you hold it in, so that leads to a lot of physical ills. And so you absolutely need to take care of this on Shabbos like you are during the week. And what is Rava suggesting? That you should not stimulate bowel movement on Shabbos? That's hard to imagine. So the Gemara's response is kila achar yad. No, what Rava meant is that you are allowed to stimulate on Shabbos, but you just simply have to do it in a somewhat roundabout fashion, in a somewhat unusual manner, and you shouldn't do it like you do during the week. Why? What's the consideration? Rashi writes over here, because by stimulating the area, so there is hair in that area as well, and you're probably going to tear some hair out of that area. And even though that is not your intention, but that's probably what's going to happen. So therefore, on Shabbos, it has to be done in an unusual fashion. Rav Yannai says that let's say you have a set area, a designed area where you're going to go to the bathroom. So then the only thing, the only stones you're allowed to take out over there is Malo Hayad. Once you have a set bathroom, you can actually put stones there before Shabbos because you know where you're going to go. Now, Im Lav, however, if you do not have a set bathroom, so then Kehechra. So that the stone that you're allowed to bring in could be a middle-sized stone. And when we say middle-sized, what does that mean? Well, we already went over the extreme sizes. The smallest would be the Kezias, the largest would be the Kebetza. So the middle size would be, like we saw earlier this morning, the size of an ego is the size of a walnut. Meducha Ketana Shel Besamim. The Gemara now talks about using other instruments for as a hygienic wipe. Now, the meducha is something where basically it's more than a pestle. So here we're talking about the pestle. That's the thing that goes in order to crush the spices. And Amar Rav Sheshes im yesh aleha aid mutter. So can that be used on Shabbos as a for the wipe, for the hygienic wipe? And the Gemara says basically if it's been used before. If it has an aid on it, Rashi describes that to mean over here just simply, that it is clear and evident that it was used earlier. So then, obviously, it has been designed for a hygienic wipe, and therefore, one is allowed to use it on Shabbos. So, as I mentioned, today's daf is going to be somewhat graphic. Over here now, we're not just talking about using stones as a wipe, but we're also talking about reusing a stone as a wipe. And here the Gemara says, I think that's a problem. Meisvei. Gemara challenges based on the following brisa: Sarat Dvarim Mivim Es Adam Lidei Tachtonios. 10 things bring about. You and I would call it hemorrhoids. I'm not sure if that's a great diagnosis, but for our purposes, we get the basic idea. Not good. Ve'eluhin, and they are ha'ochel ale kanim, eating the leaves of the palm tree, ale gefanim, leaves of the vine, lulave gefanim, shoots that come off the vine, marigi behema, meat of an animal that is really tough. Below melech, eating it without salting it. Shedr shel dagin, the spine of a fish. Vidag maliach, or eating salted fish. Shelo bishul kol tzarcho, that was not properly cooked. Vashos de sharma yayin. And if you were to drink the actual dregs of the wine. Habakanech besid v'charasis, wiping with either lime or earthenware. Betzor shekinech v'chavera, or using a stone, but that was used by somebody else. Yeshomim afatol asma beveza kise. Or let's say you squat in the bathroom, but you don't sit properly in the bathroom. All these are not good. All these lead to tachtonios. So one of the 10 things that we listed, and really, there's 11 things mentioned over here because there's a yeshomim, but of the 10 things that we mentioned, one of them is reusing somebody else's stone. And so how can we even entertain the idea of using the pestle as long as it was used once before, so now you're allowed to use it again on Shabbos, that's reusing, and the Gemara says, I thought you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara gives a number of solutions to this problem. One, habalach habiyavish. If the stone that was already used is still moist, so then one is not allowed to reuse it. However, if it's dried, so then you can reuse it. Another possibility is not using the same surface, using a different surface of that same stone. Reusing your own stone would be fine. Reusing somebody else's stone, not fine. Many of these answers, by the way, are intuitive. The Gemara speaks it out. Let's say the pestle was left out in the rain. It was used as for the hygienic wipe, but then it was left out in the rain, and now basically it was cleaned off in the rain. So did it lose its status of being a non-muksa item vis-a-vis your hygienic wipe? As long as it's still some sort of visual evidence that it was used for the bathroom, so then it did not lose its designation for hygienic wipe, and therefore you're allowed to use it again on Shabbos. May Rav Chista. As we now turn to the Amud Beis, the following question was asked from Rav Chista. Mahu la'alosam acharav legab. Can I take these stones and can I bring up to the roof? So over here, the place that this person would like to relieve himself is on the rooftop. And the question now becomes, can he take these stones and bring them up to the roof? Now, isn't the answer yes? What would be the issue? Meaning, if we're not talking about the malacha votzah, and these stones are the correct size for wiping, why is the Gemara entertaining this as a question? Take a look at the top Rashi over here, where he addresses this very point. Rashi writes, Im Allah sham lipanos. He's going up to the roof in order to relieve himself. Mi chayshin and letircha yaseirasa olam. So Rashi puts this under the category of possibly being tircha yaseira. On Shabbos, we're going to see a lot of this towards the end of the Masechta. The Chachamim wanted to make sure that not only do we not violate any malacha that the Torah already addresses, but the Chachamim address the issue of not doing work on Shabbos, which technically is mutter. On the other hand, it's going to be a lot of labor on Shabbos. Much of this discussion we're going to be seeing in the 18th parak of the Masechta, right? Mefanim. So once the Chacham engaged in activity, is just simply too much effort, too much labor. So the Chachamim said it just doesn't fall within the spirit of Shabbos that one should be involved in such labor, and in such exertion. And so over here, the Gemara wants to know is that if bringing the stones up to the rooftop would qualify as tircha yaseira. Amalei, the answer he gives is very straightforward. Gadol kavod abrias shadochel es lo sase shabatorah. Over here, we're talking about kavod abrias. We're talking about human dignity, right? You need to go to the bathroom. You are going to go to the bathroom. You need now to wipe yourself. That's kavod abrias. You come down and you're not properly wiped. So over here, kavod abrias is going to be overriding a lo sase in the Torah. Rashi gives the example. Let's say you find a metziah, but there are circumstances in which it's just simply not within your kavod to go and bend down and pick it up. So one is allowed to ignore the lost item and not pick it up because of kavod abrias. The truth of the matter is that this is a bit of an oversimplification of the principle. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yutes, the Gemara discusses it there in much greater detail. Anyway, but the point is that if the only consideration is tircha yaseira, which is a consideration, but the counter consideration is kavod abrios, so then of course kavod abrios is going to win. And he answers the question very simply. Of course, you can take the stones up to the roof in order to wipe yourself. Yosef Maremar v'kamal ala hashmaita. Maremar goes and says it over. Eizvei Ravina la Maremar. And the following question was posed from the following brisa. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Noto Adam Kisa Mishlafanav Lachatos Boshina V'chachamim Amrim Lo Yitol Ela Min Ha'avus Shel Behema. A debate amongst the Tanayim whether or not you can use a toothpick to wipe out your teeth, to clean your teeth on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion, yes, even though that toothpick was not set aside as a toothpick, nevertheless, the assumption is, of course, is that you're going to eat and you're going to want to take the food out of your teeth. And so therefore, he says that we can assume that this toothpick was set aside as a cleansing instrument. According to the Chachamim, no. It has to be taken from the avishal behema, the feet of the animal. The feet of the animal has already been set aside for Shabbos. It already has the status of being a non-muksa item. That and only that can be used as a toothpick, but I confused my two topics. The toothpick, however, which was not set aside before Shabbos, you can't just simply pick it up and use it to pick your teeth. Now, the Gemara is bothered. Why? Because according to the Chachamim, what it sounds like is that as if this item was not designated before Shabbos, you can't on Shabbos just simply now try to give it status just simply because you need to pick your teeth. And similarly, regarding the stones being taken up to the rooftop, if you have not set these stones aside, you just simply can't take it. That's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara's answer, hachi hashta, not comparable. When it comes to sitting down for a meal, So you know exactly where you're going to be eating. So it would not be a big deal for you, if you know that you like picking your teeth after the meal, to set aside toothpicks specifically for that purpose. And there's an expectation that you should do that. And if you don't do that, you can't on Shabbos just simply pick up a piece of wood and say, you know what, I'm going to pick my teeth with it. So, but if the toothpicks are set aside, so then you can. And the expectation is you should set aside because you know exactly where you're going to eat. On the other hand, going to the bathroom is ad hoc. And so you don't exactly know where you're going to go to the bathroom. And therefore, the Chachamim gave a lot more leeway in terms of picking up stones and using them even though they weren't set aside for Shabbos. I'm Rav Huna, also Lafanus Besada, near Bishabbos. More discussions now, and here we're going to turn all of our attention of bathroom and halacha. And Rav Huna says that a person cannot go into a field that was already plowed and use that as an area in order to relieve himself. My time, and now why not? Ile Mishum Davsha. So the Gemara says, well, in order to go into a plowed field, that means that you're going to be walking over a plowed field, and somebody just spent a lot of time plowing that field, and you're ruining the plow field. Maybe that's a consideration. So the Gemara says, but I feel b'chol nami. The Gemara says, but if that's true, so that would be a consideration even during the week. That wouldn't be specific to Shabbos. Ela mishum asavim. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the issue is the following, and that is the grass. Now, when we talk about the grass over here, because you plow the field, so what's happening now is that you picked up stones during the plowing in which these stones had grass attached to them. And what's going to end up happening is that if you end up wiping with such a stone, you're going to be pulling the grass off the stone. Now, v'amar ish lakish shor sh'alo bo asavim mutla kanech bo, v'atolesh mimena b'shabbos chayiv chatas. Now, Rish Lakish said the following regarding these particular stones that have grass on them. If you separate the grass from the stone so that you're absolutely not allowed to do, because that's the malacha of tolesh. Once I take a plant and take it out of the ground, and in this case, the plant is still connected to the stone. Nevertheless, once I separate the two of them, that is the malach of tolish. And that you're not allowed to do. It's an isur daraisa. On the other hand, to take said stone and to use it as your hygienic wipe, that you're absolutely allowed to do. First of all, you have no intention of pulling the grass off. If the grass comes off, that is a davshena miskavim. It's not absolutely certain that the grass is going to come off. So it is a davshena miskavim. We do paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore it would be mutter. So the Gemara says, so once again, we're back to trying to understand the statement of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that you cannot relieve yourself in a plowed field, and we have yet to explain why that should be. Ela dilma nakim mi ilai v'shad l'tasayu mechay v'shum d'rava. D'amar rava hais ala guma metam'a u temama babayis chay v'shum bonim b'sad chay v'shum choresh. And so the Gemara finally concedes that the issue over here is that you're moving stones around. Now, moving stones around, again, the stone by itself, used for hygienic purposes, is totally permissible. It's covered up rios. On the other hand, if you're out in a field, and you take a stone, and you pick it up from one place, and you put it into another, you may end up filling a hole. Filling a hole outside is a violation of the malach of choresh. Choresh is plowing the field, but basically improving the field so that it's better for planting. So if the stone is taken from one location, put into another, that could cause improvement if I don't put it back in the same place. And so therefore, that's the malach of choresh. Parenthetically, says the Gemara, if you do that in your house, so then that's going to be the issue of bona, meaning smoothing the surface area, the floor area in your house, so that obviously is not charisha. You're not plowing and planting in your house, but you certainly want to level it in order to improve it, and that would be the malacha of bona. Gufa amar ish lakish shor sh'alo bo asav v'mutla kanech bo v'atolesh mimena b'shabbos chayiv chatas. The Gemara now goes back to the statement of Reish Lakish, and the Gemara now wants to draw conclusions based on that. To review, Reish Lakish taught us that if I have a stone where grass has grown on the stone, so you could use that stone to wipe yourself, because again, the grass that comes off is not your intention. It's a davshena miskavim. It's not for sure that the grass is going to come off, and so therefore, davshena miskavim is mutter. We do paskin like Rabbi Shimon. However, if then you were to take the grass and lift it off the stone, pluck it off the stone, so that's the malach of tolish, and you'd be chayv karban chatas. Now, based on the statement of Reish Lakish, amar rapapi shmami nami de Reish Lakish, based on that, we can now, says rapapi, we could draw the following conclusion. Hai parpisa shari le tutule. So if you have a pot, a flower pot, and it is not connected to the ground. So that means to say that it's got holes on the bottom of the pot, but it's not connected to the ground. So you're allowed to move it, and one does not violate the malacha of zoreya, of planting. Or in this case, I should say better, detaching the plants from the ground. The malacha of tolish. Now, how do we go from point A to point B? So Rashi explains, I'm paraphrasing. So look, when we have the stone with the grass on it, so can't you make the argument that although the grass right now is attached to the stone, but the stone is in the ground, and when I pick the stone up, so I'm being tolish the grass. Reish Lakish just taught us you're not, and that's not the way to look at it. Meaning we're looking at the stone as being the source of the nutrition for the grass, and so picking up the stone is not a violation of tolish. Oh, so now we can move it to our discussion. So when I have the pot, and the pot is not in the ground, it's just simply that there's holes at the bottom of the pot creating communication between the ground and the pot, but it's not in the ground itself. So one is allowed to pick it up on Shabbos and not violate the malacha of tolish. Yes, there is an issue of muksa over here, and not really sure how to deal with the issue of muksa because certainly the pot's going to be muksa. It could be itzarach makom, itzarach gufo. Anyway, but the Gemara is just focusing from the perspective of it's not the malach of tolish. We learn that regard. We learn that from the stone. Maskav l'Rav Kahana im amal itzarach yomer shelo litzarach. So look, picking up the stone, that's the tzarach. That obviously is a need. That is for wiping yourself. That's kavod abrios. Over here, what tzarach are we talking about over here? Amar Abaye parpisa hov asli adan lima bay milsa. So he says, look, we just brought up this parpisa, this pot. So let's just say one more thing regarding it. Let's say it was on the ground, and then you put it on pegs. Mechayiv mishum tolish, meaning if it was actually making contact with the ground, and then you put it up and lift it and put it onto the pegs, so that is in fact the malach of tolish. And if it was on pegs and you put it now on the ground itself, so that is going to be the malacha of planting. A lot of things to add over here to this Gemara. And one of the things that we'll start off with, I'll go, Rashi's a little bit out of order, but first let me just, let's just go over the Rashi regarding this idea that if I have a pot with holes on the bottom and it was touching the ground and I lift it up, that's Talisha. If it was on pegs and then I take it off the pegs and put it on the ground, so that's Zoreya. Rashi over here writes, Chayiv Mishum Tolesh, Rashi is towards the bottom. Eno Nene Shuv Meirecha Karka, Vili Nira, Dehai Chayiv Ladaka. Rashi writes over here that even though the Gemara used really strong language, meaning Chayiv, which means that's an Issur Daraisa, so Rashi says over here, I don't think so. Ella Asur Mishum Didami Latolish. Rashi says over here that, look, it's in the pot, and even though the pot is touching the ground, but still, one does not violate the Issur D'Oraisa of Talisha, but it's an Issur D'Rabbanan, and it certainly looks like Tolish. Yichayv Mamash Kam Letzarech Echishar Rabbanan Issur Kariz V'Skila Mishum Kinoach. Because Rashi says, consider, right? The whole starting point of this discussion was picking up the stone with the grass attached to it. Meaning, if we're really saying that it's an Issur D'Oraisa, that when the pot is touching the ground, or going back to the stone, when the stone is touching the ground and the grass is on the stone, and I pick the stone up, if we're talking about a bona fide Issur D'Oraisa, so it's true, of course, that Kavod Abrios is important and it is a critical value, but certainly will not allow you to violate an Issur D'Oraisa, the malacha of Shabbos, and the Chilul Shabbos will not be overriding Kavod Abrios. So Rashi says that over here, even though the Gemara's language is very strong, that you're chayiv mishum tolish, what it really means is that it's aser mishum tolish, meaning it's an Issur D'Rabban, it's not an Issur D'Oraisa. Okay, that's obviously an important Rashi in this discussion. But let's go to the Rashi, which is probably the most exciting Rashi of today, and that is the following. We're describing this parpisa, this pot that you sometimes have on the ground. You sometimes put it on a peg over the ground. Rashi over here writes the following. Hai parpisa atzitz nakuv shezarabo. Okay, so the pot is holy, right? Not spiritually. It's got holes on the bottom. In order so that it could draw nourishment from the ground. Uvichuvas Agonim, I'm reading the Rashi over here, as it is fascinating. Rashi writes, Uvichuvas Agonim now, he quotes, going all the way back to the Gonim, Matzati Shosim, Choslos Mikapos Tamara. So they would make baskets, and the baskets were made out of palm. Umemalanosan offer Vizevel, Behema, and they would fill it with dirt and fertilizer. Vichav Beis Otesvav Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. And then, either 22 or 15 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, so you would have a pot representing every child that you have in your house. And then in this either 2 or 3 week period prior to Rosh Hashanah, so you would be planting beans in this pot, in this basket pot. O kitnios, the current low parpisa, and that's what it was called. Vitsomech. Now beans grow quickly, so already they're going to take sprout by Rosh Hashanah time. Uve'erev Rosh Hashanah notu kol echad shalo. And then on Erev Rosh Hashanah, here's what you're going to do with this pot. Everyone's going to take it. Umachzir sfivas rosho shiva pa'amim. Wave it around the head of its respective child. Remember, you had a one pot per child. And you were waving it around the head of the child 7 times. Va'omer zetachazeh. And you say, this in exchange for this. Okay, what you and I describe as kaparos. You're not going to see kaparos in the Gemara. But in this Rashi, quoting a minhag, going all the way back to the Gaonim, you do see a version of kaparos. There are no chickens over here, not even money. It's a pot with seeds, but certainly a minhag that is an ancient minhag. Zutachazeh v'zuchalefazeh v'zeh t'murasi. And then what do you do with the pot afterwards? Umashlicha lenahar. And then what you do after having exchanged whatever you're taking off the child. Right, I'm incapable of explaining how this works. But whatever you're taking off the child that now is in this pot, and then what you're going to do is you're going to throw it into the river. In this Rashi, you have kaparos, and then you also have tashlich as well. Again, older versions of this ancient minhag that Rashi describes. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's finish off the daf. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We're a little bit more than halfway down on the Amud. It is the last 4 words in the line. Amar Rav Yochanan asa lekanech becheres b'Shabbos. One cannot wipe himself with earthenware on Shabbos. My time a why ilema mishum sakana afil b'chol nami. Now, if the issue is that the earthenware is going to lose its integrity as you're wiping, and it's going to pose a threat to you and a risk to you, so then this is not a Shabbos halacha. This is an everyday halacha. And Rav Yochanan says that you're not allowed to do so on Shabbos. So that can't be. So the Gemara says, well, the issue now is sorcery. And in ways that I certainly cannot explain, using earthenware pot is going to be make you susceptible to sorcery. So the Gemara says, again, if that's true, so then that's not a Shabbos halacha, a weekday halacha as well. So afil b'chol nami lo. The Gemara says, okay, well, maybe what it's going to do is it's going to cut hairs from that area, and that is pulling out hairs, which is also on Shabbos. The Gemara says, davashenim is kabinu. So, what? Yeah, but that's not your intention. And we're going to assume that Rabbi Yochanan subscribes to the position of Rabbi Shimon, Davashen Miskaven is Mutter. So, Amlu Rav Nasan Bar Oshia. So, everyone see what we just did over here? We just struck out. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan says that you're not allowed to wipe yourself with cheres on Shabbos. And the Gemara went 3 times trying to give an explanation. Gemara rejected every explanation. So, that's 3 strikes already. And so what we're left with now is, awkwardly, Rav Yochanan making a statement and not understanding why he would say that. So, Amalu Rav Nasan Bar Oshia, Gavir Rabba, Mamilsa, Nema, Ba, Taima. So, the Gavir Rabba, great person, says something, so we have to give some sort of explanation. Lo mi baichol da alser. We're not just talking about during the week where it's going to be prohibited. Ava b'shabbos ol v'ikatoros kli alav shapir dami kamash malan. So we're really going to go back to our first explanation. No, we're going to go back to our second explanation. The issue is kshafim. And during the week, you're not allowed to do so because, again, it exposes you to sorcery. On Shabbos, however, you could make the argument that since it has a shame kli, so maybe it would be okay. Chiddush is, it's not okay. Ravi Maskin Lam Mishum Hasharas Neiman. Now, Rava also had this Mesorah of Rav Yochanan, that you're not allowed to use cheres on Shabbos, and he connected it to the fact that it is going to detach hair. Now, v'kashulei d'Rav Yochanan, and now he gave that explanation. Now, again, Rav Yochanan didn't explain Or maybe he did, and we don't have it as part of the Masara. But we're trying to figure out what's behind Rav Yochanan. So Rava thought it had to do with the detachment of the hair, but the Gemara says, but wait a second, that's a Davar Sheina Miskaven. And you're telling me now that Rav Yochanan says Davar Sheina Miskaven is Asur? And the Gemara says, but I don't understand. Me, I'm a Rav Yochanan, also Kanech Becheres B'Shabbos. I'm a Davar Sheina Miskaven is Asur. It comes out now that Rav Yochanan holds Davar Sheina Miskaven is Asur, and you're telling me that he paskins like Rav Yehuda? But we know that's not true. V'am Rav Yochanan halachik is Mishnah. Now the Gemara cites this numerous times throughout Shas. Rav Yochanan says that when you have a Stam Mishnah, the halacha follows like a Stam Mishnah. Anonymous Mishnayos is Rav Yehuda Anasi's way of informing us. That's the accepted halacha, according to Rav Yochanan. Seemingly not everyone agrees with that, but that's according to Rav Yochanan. And Stam Mishnah in Nazir, Utanan. Nazir Chofefu Mefasfes of Alo Sorek. Now, another, what he can do is that he can do some sort of hair care, pat it down with his hand, do some sort of hair care. He can't take a comb and comb his hair. Obviously, another is not allowed to have any of his hair come out. Using a comb for sure will take hair out of his hair, but using some other basic maintenance in terms of caring for his hair, like taking his hand and rubbing it through his hair, that's fine. Some hair will come out. That's it's in a miskaven. He has no intention in doing so. And we can also add, he probably doesn't want the hair to come out. And so, but anyway, that's the Mishnah in Nazir. And obviously the Mishnah in Nazir is predicated on the issue that a davar sheina miskaven is mutter. And the reason why he can't use a comb is because it's a davar sheina miskaven, but it's a psik resha. And there, as Rashi here points out, everyone agrees that that would be usser. But if it's at least in the realm of possible, but also not possible, so that's a davar sheina miskaven, and the Mishnah is telling us it would be mutter. So ela machvarta k'derav nasan baroshia. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Rava's suggestion that Rav Yochanan is based on hair detachment, so it's an unsupportable explanation, and the Gemara therefore says we're going to go back and we're going to say what we said earlier, that I might have had a havamina that you could use it on Shabbos because it has a shame kli on it. Mike Shafim, let's finish up the daf today. Discussing a little bit of sorcery. Not explaining it, I'm not capable of doing that, but just a little more discussion in the Gemara. What exactly is the sorcery as it relates to using earthenware? So the Gemara tells this to us in the form of a story. Rav Chisa and Rabba are on a boat. Amaloha Machonisa Osvan Bahadaicha. A woman comes over to them. We'll see this woman is a witch. She goes over to them and she says, I'd love to sit with you. V'lo usve. Now they said, nope, we're not interested. Amra ihi milsa asrasal arva. So she casts a spell, she says something, as some sort of incantation, the boat stops. Amru inu milsa sharyusa. And they say something, they also make an incantation, and now the boat goes forward. I know what everybody's thinking right now. I'll come back to that in just a moment. Amra lahu, she says back to them, Mai I aved lahu. So she says to them, look, I can't outmatch you. You are not susceptible to sorcery. Why not? As we turn to the top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Deloma kanechlu bechaspa, you guys don't wipe with earthenware. Evelokat lahu kina manaychu, you don't kill your lice directly on your clothing. And veloshalv lahu yirka v'achaluchu mikisha de asr ginai. And you don't eat vegetables directly from the bundle. You first unbundle the vegetables and then you eat it. Now, please don't ask me to explain any one of these factors in terms of making you more susceptible to magic because, as I pointed out already, I'm incapable of explaining it. Don't understand it. But the point is, however, of the story is that you see that wiping with earthenware makes a person susceptible to magic. And so that is where the Gemara earlier suggested maybe that's why you can't use it on Shabbos. The question which we're all wondering is that the Amorayim countered her magic with what seemingly is their own magic, and of course practicing magic and sorcery is an Isser Daraisa. How are they doing it? I don't have much in terms of explaining other than a small Rashi on the bottom of the Amud Beis. Rashi writes, it's the last Rashi in the Amud, Amre Inu Milsa Ayde Shem Tahara. So they're using Shem Hashem. Okay. And how exactly that works, again, it's beyond my pay grade. don't fully understand it, but I don't think I'm supposed to. So let's quickly recap our daf. Okay, we started off this morning with a Mishnah on the top of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph talking about other items in the Shirim in terms of violating the Malach of Otsa. When do these items now become a significant amount of Davar Chashuv where one would be chayav? We described three items in our Mishnah. We spoke in our Mishnah about Etzem, Zechuchis, and Tzur and Evan. Bones, glass, and stones. As far as bones are concerned, we learned together that the Tanakhama says the Shear is going to be the teeth of the keys. Right, that's how we modified it in the Gemara. Rav Yehuda says no, it's got to be. Sorry. Let's do that again. Let's do it correctly. According to the Tanakhama, it's going to be the shear of a spoon, meaning that they used to make spoons out of bones. And Rav Yehuda says that it was the teeth of the key. Okay, good. Next, we went over the zechuchis, the glass. The glass has to be an instrument large enough where it's able to cut two threads on the weave, and then stones. How big a stone? Big enough where you would be throwing it at a bird, and according to Rav Lazar Bar Yaakov, it's got to be a little bit bigger where you'd be throwing it at an animal. With that stated, we then continued, and in the Gemara's discussion today, went over another number of halachas. We first discussed stones vis-a-vis using them as wipes. As I mentioned in the beginning of Shir today, we have gained a better appreciation of toilet paper. We talked about them using as wipes in terms of the size for wipes. Do they have to be of a very specific size? Do they just simply have to be a handful? A discussion in the Gemara. And then the Gemara segued from there and discussed exactly halachas regarding hygienic wipes. It's obviously bathroom talk, but bathroom talk in the context of Torah. Every aspect of our life is guided and guidelined by the Torah. And so the Gemara used an opportunity today to talk about various items that should be used as hygienic wipes and should not be used as hygienic wipes. And in the course of the discussion today, we talked about using loose earth. We talked about reusing stones. We turned to the Amud Beis. We talked about not going in a plowed field. Exactly why was a discussion in the Gemara. We discussed the Parpisa, right? Before I get to the Parpisa, we discussed taking a stone out of the ground. The stone obviously was already loosened. So pulling the stone out of the ground for wiping purposes, but the stone has some grass on it. And Reish Lakish taught us that that's not going to be an issue. And you can absolutely wipe yourself with such a stone. Some of the grass may come off. It's a davar she'eino miskaven. Pulling the grass off the stone, that's the malacha of tolesh. Then that led to the Gemara's discussion regarding the parpisa, the potted plant. If it is disconnected from the ground, which is, it is, it's in the pot, lifting the pot up, so that is not going to be an issue. We saw that from the stone as well. Although the Gemara says, I'm not sure if they're perfectly comparable, the stone that's used for wiping is a tzorech, picking up the pot is eno l'tzorech. We shared together the statement of Abaye, which is that Abaye says that if the pot, our holy pot is actually touching the ground and you pick it up, that's a malach of tolish. If it's on pegs and you're putting it in, and now that's touching the ground, that's the malacha of Zoreya. Rashi over here writes, not mamish da'araisa, not chil shabbos da'araisa, but it's an iser d'rabanan. And then the Rashi, quoting the Tshuvas HaGaon and regarding the parpisa and the minug, that is certainly an older version, the first iteration of the minug of kaparos and even of tashlich. And then finally, we concluded today with the statement of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that you're not allowed to wipe yourself with cheres, and in an attempt of the Amorim to understand why that should be, because he says you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos.